The Eagles are Charlie Brown, and every season is Lucy with the football. It's coming.
David.
Yes.
Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
How time changes all things. Thanks to Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
All right, we'll kibitz with two prominent Eagles fans who happen to be betrothed as well. Two of our favorites here seated to my immediate left. Couple things real quick here. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Hope all's well wherever you are. Things are positively gay these days around here as we open up, and we keep our eye on the game of football. But as always, and more prominently now that the offseason has arrived, the offseason is our season at the DDFP. Now we get to tackle the game of life in an ongoing
way. I love that game.
Let me say a couple things here about the game of life. Someone who is winning at it against some legitimate odds, more so than Dameshek has ever had to confront. Our pal Chris Wessling, a.k.a. the mailman, who lives on Tybee Island at his pleasure. That's his secret spot when he retreats off to the island. But here in Los Angeles, either way, as we all know, he's done a magnificent job, as has his significant other, Lakeisha, always right by his side. We hail both of them. Yes. GoFundMe.com to help out with the significant medical bills that Wes is dealing with right now. Go there, GoFundMe.com. Chris Wessling, and I'll spell it for you, Wessling, takes out the big C. GoFundMe.com/Chris Wessling takes out the big C. And throw some money in there. You can throw well wishes too, but money more.
Money good,
is better,
yeah.
Even better at this point. So go and do that, and then also to promote something even more significant. I've come up with a little segment here. Oh wait, this is not as significant, right? We agree. Okay. Nevertheless, at the Super Bowl, we kibitzed with some high end guys: Dak Prescott, Greg Olson, and Von Miller, and it's really fun, I think. It sounds rudimentary, but I just ask them, describe for me the most memorable play of your career, and the details that emerge from those first-person accounts I find interesting. We have many more of those to come.
That sounds
Jerome
awesome.
Bettis, the best one is. Jerome Bettis doing the fumble in Indianapolis in the '05 divisional round game against the Colts is spellbinding stuff, so that's on the way too. Anywho, now let's say hello to the aforementioned one seated to my immediate left, the First Lady of Philadelphia. She's back from the parade.
Yes.
And Super Bowl 52. I saw her down on the field celebrating amongst the people and the confetti. It's the Wolf, Colleen Wolf. Oh, I forgot.
Let it breathe.
You know, Rocky Balboa. I'm gonna let it go.
The Museum of Art. Coast to coast, living with the number one guy. Yeah. Still repping her teams, though.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
A former figure skater turned NFL reporter. Below average height,
yeah.
3 inches shorter. She flies airplanes and drives a stick, too. Both humans and canines. She got love for you. She's known as the Wolf, but you can call her Colleen. This Pennsylvania gal's.
All right, it's enough already. We get it.
Great.
Wait a second. I had forgotten, or maybe we've never talked about this. You're a big dog person?
Oh, my God.
Really? You have dogs at the house?
Yeah, I can't get anything done when I'm at home.
Really?
Because the dogs are there. Yeah.
I think, well, let's say hello to your significant other seated to your immediate left there, also from Philadelphia, also an Eagles fan, also somebody I saw around the Super Bowl festivities, although I don't think you were down on the field after the game. Either way, you know him at the Ringer. He's doing. What's the name of your podcast again?
The Heat Check Pod.
Yeah, the Heat Check Pod. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. I've been busy too.
No,
the Ringer NBA Show Heat Check Pod. It's
now,
a very long title.
Now it's time for me to jump in on NBA, NHL, college basketball, perhaps.
So many things.
I feel like I've kind of missed, though, because we're into mid-February now. Is it too late to jump in on college basketball for the season? I don't know about that. The Winter Olympics.
Oh, that's been amazing.
Wonderful.
Has it? Oh, yeah, you're a figure skater, the
yes.
Wolf. You must love this. Anywho, let's say hello to him. It's John Gonzalez. What's the poop, fella?
Hello, my man.
How are we?
Thank you for having me.
Hey.
I remain mystified that you keep having me back.
Before anything else, where are my manners? I've said it to the Wolf's face, but mazel tov to you. On the Eagles crown. You guys are both now front-running.
We did it. I keep mentioning this to I'll go places and talk to people, and invariably they'll remember that I'm from Philadelphia and congratulate me as though I had a key role in this.
Don't
I'm really
be
enjoying
that way.
It. I'm really enjoying it. It's very foreign. it's something that Philadelphians are not used to when people wish them well.
Right.
So I'm getting used to it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, speaking of people who figured prominently into the into that Lombardi, Rodney McLeod is on his way, or to pull back the curtain, no jive is our policy here in Studio 66. We've already kibitzed with Rodney McLeod, and I dare say we've once again fallen very much in love.
I can't wait to hear it.
You know what? I am. We had a guy in college who he's now a doctor in St. Louis, but back then when we were in school, we called him Pool Boy because he'd meet a girl and like her immediately, and he would just dive into the pool before he even checked if there was water in it. You know, he just dove headfirst in every time. Relax a little bit, but I can't.
Was
you know
his
what?
Name John Gonzalez?
Oh, is he one of
first,
those?
First time kidding. Pool right here.
Yeah,
this is my pool.
He only has eyes for one pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. The pH level, excellent.
This is
I don't know what that means.
This is getting weird.
It's actually
now.
Very strange.
Very
I like
strange.
Where we're going.
This is I don't.
You know what they call that in improv? That's riffing. He's riffing.
He is.
You know?
Yeah.
Building.
Riff,
we're building, right? She did improv.
Building.
We're building.
Did you know that? Put that in the song. You got to add that into the rap song.
I did improv.
She went to, what is it?
UCB.
UCB.
Whoa.
Yes.
The wolf knows how to yes and?
Yes and.
I can do a little of it.
Oh, I'd like to test that theory. You know who else has done a little of that is Emma VP.
Ooh.
She can help
oh, really?
Well, with the
not
yes
surprising.
And.
I have in college. I was also in a sketch group, but.
You guys
no
are.
Way.
But,
I
can
see
but
this because you're.
Did I not college. Mention that I was also in a sketch group, but.
more so than the improv. More so than improv.
Listen, I like it all. And great news for John and Colleen. Mm. First, their first star turn came several months back during the season. The DDF players put on a little show. In fact, yes. You put it on, scripted by Emma VP.
Brilliant.
Up in just a minute, chapter
Ooh.
Two.
Of, oh, really?
Of how Gonzo and the Wolf came to,
no way. Yes.
Came to have a deep and abiding love that lasts through the Super Bowl.
Fantastic.
Yeah, good for you. So we're going to hear from Rodney McLeod. We have enough talk about what the Super Bowl and all that. We did some important work on uniforms. He's a fashionista like I am.
Right, totally.
So we figured out some stuff with uniforms and other important matters. So you're going to want to stick around for that. In the meantime, let me say to you what I said to Rodney, Corey Clement. That wasn't a touchdown, right?
Yes, it was.
No, he bobbled that.
I'm just going to blink it.
He had control of the ball.
You know, here's my policy.
The parade happened.
I freaked out a little bit, though.
That was real.
When you saw that, you thought, you knew in your heart. They're
going to
overturn.
So that was the end zone where we were sitting. We were at the 10-yard line, right off, two rows off the field. Saw the whole thing. Went, wow, that was an amazing catch. Probably a throw he shouldn't have tried, considering that the defenders were all over.
Best throw of the game for him?
Very
probably.
Tight window, yeah. One of. Yeah. There were several throws that I went back and watched and thought, probably shouldn't have tried that.
I mean,
really
I think there are five or six throws in that game that Nick Foles makes that are jaw-dropping.
Amazing.
In
yeah.
any
throws.
Game, but I mean, he did it
just
in the Super Bowl.
On the money,
but
yeah.
You need to make those throws to win a Super Bowl. You also need to have the referees not overturn that, so thank you to the referees.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of conspiracy theorists or whatever else you want to call them, but I mean, I am of the mind that they definitely, Al Riveron and company, definitely were informed by what happened. And I was, it always has to go back to Pittsburgh. But yeah,
no, it's true, though.
If the Jesse James catch, here's the thing that they need. You know, we heard Kamish Goodell in Super Bowl week say we need to fix this rule. Here's my two cents on what it is. Going forward, this is a common sense rule that I think you can legitimately apply. If I am holding a tennis ball, if I give it to my 3-year-old and I say, throw it to yourself and catch it. He will throw it up in the air and it'll go 10 feet away from him. It will therefore be out of his control. If I have a tennis ball and I throw it to myself, it's in my control at all times, right? Even when it's up in the air, I still am controlling it. I know where it's coming back down and I'm going to retain possession of it. That should be the policy. If you're in control of it, if it appears as though, and you can see that with your eyes, we're all human beings. You can see when your quick twitch reactions are not in control of the ball or whether they are, right? Isn't that the?
I'm usually not in control of the ball, so I understand completely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Corey Clement, that should not have been a touchdown, but it was. I do think the Zach Ertz one is ridiculous to suggest that that wasn't. Right. Some people out there have said it wasn't, but that's silly. Definitely
wasn't. He was a runner at that point.
Yeah.
The parade happened. It was great.
I'm not trying to take any of it back.
The Super Bowl was real, man. Like, whatever, any kind of revisionist history or ill will that people want to have towards the Eagles in Philadelphia.
Don't be like
doesn't
that.
Matter.
Yeah. Don't be like that. See, that's but you know what though? That the it doesn't matter is the posture that all Philadelphia sports fans must now take. Please, the chip on the shoulder should be gone.
Oh, it's never gone. Are you kidding me?
Why do you need to keep it at this point? You did it. And by the
permanent.
Way, on behalf of the other side of the state, we thank you. I do not want to undo what happened.
Right.
Believe me.
Great.
That's true.
I like what happened. Believe me, I like sitting atop Mount Football with my six Lombardis alone. I don't want to share that company with Tom Brady.
You've got to give Philadelphians a little time to get used to that. Like, okay. I said, first you're wishing us well. Immediately, I'm like, what's your problem? Mm-hmm. Because you're congratulating us, so we got to warm into it. And the chip, yes, eventually will melt away. Everybody's very happy right now.
That chip's not going anywhere.
You don't think?
I don't think ever. No way.
Why do you need it though?
Because You're born with a chip. That just happens.
All right, because it existed under the premise that you could never win, and there was no explaining your way around that fact, you know?
Right. Yeah,
anywho,
I don't know.
I do think that, for the record, I do still hate the Flyers.
Glad
we cleared that up.
That's never going to change. But neither one of you really care, so it's hard to engage you in much Flyers.
There's many
Flyers
things that I don't care about. I have a long list of things that do not register.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Valentine's Day, before we jump in on a little bit more football here, Emma VP wrote that down on our rundown for the day. Explain yourself, Emma VP. Why do you want us to – because love is in the room?
No, just because today is February 13th.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow's the 14th. I figured that's a holiday. Maybe you want to talk about it on the show with the married couple.
Well, Emma VP.
Very smart. 14 after 13.
Uh-huh.
True enough.
How to tell Dave that.
Yep.
Emma VP also is in the throes of romantic love.
Yeah. I did not know. This is wonderful news.
It's her first Valentine's Day. It will be with a fiancé.
With a fiancé. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Wait, you think it's so? Well, we've had some other people come in here in Studio 66 and advise against marriage. You guys are advocating for it.
I think it's good.
Okay.
I'm having a great time.
Are you?
It's working out a lot better for me than Colleen, but I'll take it.
I know. She got you a ticket. You were plus one to Super Bowl week.
That's right.
Including the game.
I went to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I live in California.
It's all going really well.
It's really going great for me.
Good for you. You're not one of these fellas who feels some weird reflected shame, like, my lady's doing better than me. You hear about those stories in show business that the celebrity couples don't work out because if one outstrips the other, they get that's what you are.
I'm really enjoying being a house
Philly
husband
famous.
She subsidizes my whole existence.
You
it's
go to work sometimes
ish she's on television. Yeah, it's very impressive.
I do a podcast called Hard Court all time.
Wait till your guy Simmons hears about you defaming our
maybe we'll have some time for Simmons. But first, I want to, before we get to Valentine's Day, back to the dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
My feeling is that it's weird, given our mortality.
Okay.
That we would want that part of the human, the inescapable, one of the two or three, you know, absolute truths of the human condition are that we have the intellect, that we have a higher intellect than any other beast. That's why we rule the planet, even though we would be defeated by many beasts that walk the planet Earth along with us. But our intellect, while we can acknowledge our own mortality, we can acknowledge everyone else's mortality, but it makes it difficult for us to recognize that. But experiencing loss with other humans that are in our lives, that's something we have to deal with. The thing we don't have to deal with is bringing another beast into our lives that you not only might have to deal with, you hope dies before you do. What kind of thing is that? What kind of thing is that to bring a beast into your home and let him walk around and be thinking like, I hope he goes before I do, because that would be really sad if I check out before this beast.
We always say I have to go first.
Yeah, no, you definitely have this wrong. We frequently will talk about how it would be easier if we went before the animals. It'll be terrible.
Emotionally, you mean?
Sure. Well, yeah, that too.
Well, also, it might not be great for them if you two
tough stuff.
You tough
stuff for them if you, we go first.
Unlikely that you're both gonna pass at the same on the same night. But when they wake up and like, hey, what's with these two already? When we getting the food?
Well, you also know? They despite how many times I take them outside, they still can't go outside by themselves.
Irresponsible.
Yeah,
these like, dogs.
You'd think that we had coached them up by now.
Why is that weird on my part, Spaghetti and MVP? That I think it's a weird thing to bring. You're willfully bringing sorrow into your life. You don't have to bring a beast into the house, and they give you pleasure, but then at some point you have to take the poor thing to the vet. Good night, the big sleep, and now you're sad sleep. About that.
Yeah, but the joy outweighs the sorrow.
I don't know.
The years and years of joy that they bring.
It's
like a parade every time we come home.
Spaghetti, your thoughts.
You don't think your kids would be happy if you brought home like a golden retriever pup and let them play around?
They would. I know they would.
They have 15 years, 10 to 15 years of joy.
Right.
And you're doing them a disservice by not giving them that opportunity.
And then they're going to learn about the,
the
bitter pill of death.
Listen,
too.
You haven't met Dasher and Blitzen. So you don't know.
True. I can't really say. MVP, are you going to advocate for beasts in your home?
Yes, I am. I think your opinion's pretty crazy on this one. Why do anything for joy?
Just on this one?
Just on this
right.
one.
Right.
Yeah. Great opinion.
Otherwise, he's really very level-headed.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good takes.
All right. Let's talk about another another issue, Valentine's Day.
An issue.
Go ahead, the Wolf. You like Valentine's Day or no?
We had this conversation. Was it yesterday?
You wanted to do? Are we going to disclose this?
Yeah.
The world, go ahead. Yeah.
You're getting remarried. You're gonna do them. You're gonna do your vows again.
No,
do it.
No,
vows again here?
Are you gonna officiate?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh,
then
maybe.
Yes, we'll do it.
That might work.
No. Actually, let's have Maurice Jones-Drew.
Okay, then if we totally, have totally in.
Spring is a wonderful time for reissuing your vows. Let's do that here on the DDFP.
Okay.
If MJD is in and you're in, then we're in. But only if you two are in.
Yeah. Then we'll do it.
And Blitzen and...
And Dasher.
Oh, my God. This is great.
All right. Go ahead,
okay.
The Wolf.
So we said Valentine's Day. Are we going to do gifts this year?
It's amateur hour, right.
We decided no.
John came to me with that. Like, gifts, what do you think? And I said, I don't think so.
It's pretty much exactly how the conversation was. There was a lot of shrugging and a lot of,
do we really have to do that again?
Noises that weren't really words. And then we decided we're going to go to dinner, and that's good.
Yeah. Can't you hang your hat on? Well, we look at the fortnight we just had. What are the two of us are going to go out and have a dinner that's going to trump anything we just saw?
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. I mean, he was like, I made our dinner reservation. I was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And he does it every year.
Well, that's great.
I was like, that's really nice. I didn't even expect that.
We'll have a little food. We'll break some bread. We'll drink some wine.
That's yeah. The mob, the way you hold a glass of wine while you say
How
that.
Do you hold? What do you hold? Yours like a normal person? You got to swirl it around.
John's yeah, been
well,
doing
not
this
any
thing
mob,
lately,
you know.
Where he goes out and buys champagne, and so like it'll
popping
be 7 o'clock
bottles.
At night, and I'll be like, you know, folding laundry and stuff, and all of a sudden I'll just hear the bottle pop in the kitchen, and he'll
Listen.
Come out and say, did you let some champagne?
I don't quite do it like that, but
in
I will
a robe,
say
it's really crazy.
I'm not paying for
in
any.
A robe
no.
Is it a kimono? I please tell me it's a kimono.
He comes out in the silk robe
silk
with champagne
robe.
but he doesn't do the belt. He just comes out. That's it. And that's all he's wearing.
It's a terrible image for everybody at home. I will say the champagne component is true, but as I mentioned earlier,
it's time to celebrate the Eagles again, my dear.
I'm not paying for any of it. My wife is very successful. It all comes out of her end. Mm-hmm. So champagne, if you want to come over.
He's like, well, it's the same price as wine, so why not?
Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I like this fella for a number of reasons. Chief among them is that. You know, listen, this weird posture, it's something we've tackled here over the last year or two. It's some of the good work we've done here on the DDFP as in our
Important
ongoing
work.
Effort. Yeah, well, to make the world better than we found it. And, you know, making it okay for fellas out there to say, listen, I like a champagne. I like a rosé.
Mm-hmm.
I like a bubbly rosé. All of those are A-okay in my book. And, in fact, they're A-okay in my mouth, down the gullet, and into my belly all the time.
Fantastic.
And I did it in Minneapolis, you know, up there. Oh, I got a good IPA, a good heavy.
I love IPA.
Brown ale. Like, all right, that's fine. Yeah. I'll have the champagne.
It's
I
all
did
delicious.
It.
I think you got to be your own man in this world.
Yeah,
if
I
you want to have a little champagne, that's in. That's why we enjoy your company as well, because you got to be your own person.
MVP, we had a rosé in Minneapolis, didn't we?
100%. I always get champagne, Prosecco, a little sparkling pink wine.
I'm not going to be bogged down by society's laws about gender-specific drinks.
Who are these people that are giving you heat about having champagne?
Oh, it's out there, friend. It's out there.
Really?
Now, I want somebody else to give you a little heat. By the way, yes, I say on Valentine's Day, it is a fraudulent, Hallmark-created event, and Gonzo, I don't want to expose anything here, but he did. See, he's good in my book. He made the dinner reservation and brought the champagne and unbelted the kimono. So I think that's more than enough from him for you on Valentine's Day. But I resent the ongoing jive that Valentine's Day, it's not really a celebration of your mutual love. It's a celebration of the lady. You're expected, the fella needs to get you gifts. Where's the gift for the fella in Valentine's Day? Where's the mutual exchange? The Christmas and Hanukkah, I got you one, now you get me one. In Valentine's Day, genuflect to the lady for, that's how it is.
I feel like you've had some box bad of Valentine's chocolates. Days.
Box of chocolates for you, a dinner for you. When's it my turn?
We used to give gifts to each
did
other.
You?
Is yeah.
It, is it generally Dave's therapy session, or is this just Valentine's Day?
Fair or no, MVP?
Fair. I have a bunch of gifts on the way for Brett. I sent them.
You
out.
Do?
Oh,
always.
That's nice. You're very kind.
She's the sweetest.
Yeah.
Spaghetti, what are you going to do for your lady friend?
I was given very strict rules. No gifts.
Nice.
We're doing a split dinner because it's also our anniversary, so we're
16. Wow.
So wait congrats. A second. Your first date was on Valentine's Day?
First date, no. It was just like when we decided that, like,
we're it.
Boyfriend and girlfriend, yeah.
This is odd.
But it was the four. Yeah, we said, like, we should.
Into the pool.
It was official.
But we had to move it 2 days. Because the 15th was her mom's birthday, so we like just made up a date and we just gonna combine it. And
all right, this is ridiculous, almost as ridiculous as Eddie Spaghetti, our resident New York Giants fan, aka let's extend beyond that to NFC East resentful fan of the Eagles. What's going on, Spaghetti? Why can't you be happy?
Yeah, why can't you be happy?
I was a few days ago when you asked this question and Money agree with my take on
I know,
it,
but you have weird takes about the whole thing surrounding.
I wanted the. I'll be honest, guys. I wanted the Patriots to win. When it was like 2:20 left and Brady had the ball, I was like, here we go. Because the Giants will be the only team to defeat the Patriots in the prime, and it makes our two Super Bowls look a lot better. And I liked also the fact that you guys didn't have a Super Bowl, and it's one thing that all the NFC East teams had on you.
All right, that is a rational point.
Right.
What I always had and still have is, well, the Ravens – finally got over on the Steelers a couple of years ago in January. Now that's been taken away from me. The worst example or best example, whichever side of the ledger you fall on in one of our best rivalries is Red Sox-Yankees. Yankees forever can say 27 or however many, you know, world championships they've won. The Red Sox fans now, and you can never undo it, like, you're the only team ever in the playoffs to blow an 0-3 lead. That's the great equalizer. Yeah, and you can never undo Yankees, man. It's got to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
That is a good one.
That the gum on your shoe after all these years now finally has that one over you. And you can, so what, 27 titles? Yeah, but 0-3. You blew the 0-3 lead, and you're the only bums to ever do it.
I respect that you continue to not like Philadelphia. As a Philadelphian, I do not like New York. So this is a shared mutual dislike of each other, and it should be ever thus.
It's understood. Should be
but yeah. Wait, Spaghetti, that, though. Go on. Yeah, there are things you don't like about the Philadelphia fans post-championship.
No. I was
No, you did say that.
Please.
No, I didn't, because my Super Bowl party was a lot of my best friends are from the South Jersey, Philadelphia area. So and I saw them how happy they were, like tears of joy. I was like, all right, like that's pretty cool. And the team is super.
Let them have
Dave
it.
Always says this too, like there's America's team, like Chris Long, Malcolm Jenkins, Torrey Smith, like there's so many awesome guys on the team. The Nick Foles story, Carson Wentz is super likable. I mean, it's not that hard to root for that team. So when I saw it in the parade, it was hilarious. So I was like, you know what? It's better than seeing the Patriots celebrate again. So I was all right with it.
What did you think of Jason Kelsey's mummer outfit?
I mean, he's the best. Him, Chris Long with the WWE belt and the fur jacket. Like, those guys are.
And an Iverson jersey.
The Iverson jersey, too.
That was awesome. But they got to give up this bit about why every team's got to do the, hey, you can hate us, but we don't care. Nobody hates you. Like Jason, there's like a T-shirt floating around
Philadelphia.
Like there's a Jason Kelce in that grand outfit celebrating. You're not human if you didn't think it was great. His post game comments, or was it at the parade? Either way,
yeah.
Lovely stuff, and hard not to like. And overall, as I keep saying, you know, like Spaghetti just said, everybody does the bit of we played for each other and we rallied around. But somehow it struck me, a curmudgeon, it struck me as different. I buy it with this group. I think they really do care about each other and play for each other and more important than anything else, they enjoy each other and they laugh and they're fun and all that kind of stuff.
Melted your icy heart.
Well, as Bucky
really
Brooks,
impressive.
As
all
Bucky
year.
Brooks pointed out, too, one thing you can't do, you can't say, hey, all that social justice jazz is distracting from the matter at hand, winning football games. Can't say that.
Great point. Love that.
And, oh, do I love how many of them said they're not going to the White House.
Oh,
fantastic. Yes, please.
Yep.
More, makes me love them even
that.
More.
I know.
Agree.
They're such
hey,
a likable team. Come
by on. The way, speaking of one of those guys, Torrey Smith will be joining us, I understand, later in the week. So I'm looking forward to kibitzing with him. Before we get to your next acting turn, specifically, the one thing that is looming now, Spaghetti and I were talking about it yesterday, is I completely buy. First of all, Nick Foles has to stay on the roster, right?
Yeah.
That you can't trade him or deal him away.
What are you getting back? Am I getting a second round pick? And now I'm thinking about it.
Would you really?
Absolutely.
Because I do buy
it's
legitimate.
Nick Foles.
I also buy. Right. Well, I also.
This is the ceiling.
Oh, my God.
He won a Super Bowl.
What?
Listen.
I think that he has to stay.
Look, if they keep him. Fantastic. But what I'm saying is if you can get something of significant value for Nick Foles, who almost retired and had to pull many, many rabbits out of his hat to win that Super Bowl, I think you got to think about it.
This is almost as disgraceful as when Santa turns his nose up at Rudolph. Treats him like a freak until he needs him. You're using Nick Foles. You used him. Now you're throwing him out the door. Well, he did what he needed to do. Goodbye.
I would not throw him out the door.
I want a second round pick for someone
discarded
that we don't know
him
who
so easy.
I would not throw him out the door. I would open it. I would thank him. I would usher him through it. I would take him to where he needs to go. I would thank him. Maybe there would be hugs, a warm embrace perhaps. You did a great job.
If Nick Foles gets traded to, let's see, so from Philly to LA-ish, let's say, would you be willing, if he is traded, if part of the deal is, and Gonzo has to give him a lift, would you drive him?
He can come over. We've got a guest room. He can meet the dogs. We'll walk the dogs together.
You have to go to Philly, get him, let him ride shotgun, and then drive him across the continental U.S. and drop him
John
off at his
done
new
this
football
before.
Home.
Okay,
he's done that drive with my dad.
But now you got to do it with Nick Foles.
But Ed Wolf, excellent conversationalist. Nick Foles, I don't know if you know this about him, not such a great conversationalist.
What? I mean, these attacks on the hero.
He is not the greatest quote, which is why when Carson Wentz
really
went down.
He did have a quote, though, after the Super Bowl.
He did. He had a great quote. He was playing and talking way above normal Nick Foles levels.
I see.
But when Carson Wentz went down, my initial thought was bad for the team. Second thought was sucks for the press. Really just surprised me on all levels. So good for Nick Foles.
Well, what about, though, the Wolf, the conversation that is going to happen almost certainly, as you say, you will always have the chip on your shoulder, championship or not. This is going to happen. First of all, they can't get rid of Nick Foles in the short term as far as by my estimation, at least, unless Doug Peterson on down really loves Nate Sudfeld. By the way, the Hoosier grad, I think he's going to be a player in the NFL at some point. I think he actually has a chance of being decent. So maybe you do have the luxury of depth at quarterback, and if you can turn Nick Foles into something. If they don't, though, and Nick Foles is on that roster, and it does make practical sense.
He's
you don't
cheap too.
Well, you don't know what. You don't know what Carson Wentz's availability is. You certainly don't know what it is right now. So it's not like you can dump him pre-draft and on the assumption that.
And you don't
want
to rush it either, with
right.
Carson Wentz, and especially if you don't have to, if you have Nick Foles there.
And to your point, they combine Foles and Wentz do for $13 million. That's less than half of what, more than half. I don't know about how to phrase that.
Numbers.
Then what Kirk Cousins is going to get somewhere. Kirk Cousins is going to make more than double that. There, I got that.
Got it. Nailed it.
So you keep both those guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're so cheap, I mean, I even thought that the Eagles might throw a little bit of money to Nick Foles, like a, hey, thank you, great job, we're going to keep you here, and here's a little bonus for you.
Well, if Howie Roseman were replaced by John Gonzalez, that conversation would have happened in the locker room. Thanks, yeah. Nick Foles. There's the door, man. Thank you. Those were some good throws
mail
you did.
Your ring.
Don't forget your Super Bowl MVP trophy.
It was a great run.
Thank you, sir. That's going to impress your new teammates wherever you land.
Ruthless. He's ruthless.
I just want to point out, again, thank you, Nick Foles, for everything you've done. Two things. You brought up Nate Sudfeld. How quickly we forget that there was a moment around
That's
the playoffs
right.
where people were going, I don't know, does it have to be Nate Sudfeld? And on top of that, Doug Peterson flat out said, if Nick Foles stumbles, I'm going to Nate Sudfeld. Said it in a press conference. Now all of a sudden, oh, you can't get rid of Nick Foles. Nick Foles, the greatest quarterback in Philadelphia history. The dude almost retired.
Yeah.
He almost retired.
My mom was even like, what about Nate Sudfeld? I think they should play him instead
Ann
of Wolf
Foles. Knows these things.
Yeah.
Listen, Nate Sudfeld, was that week 16 or 17 where they really did put Nick Foles came out and looked like junk in the first quarter, and they put Sudfeld in there.
That was the Raiders game, I think.
And if Sudfeld, I mean, that's how – to play the NFL. You want to play the if game. If Sudfeld comes out and on the first drive takes him down the field, touchdown, looks good – where are we now? Where are we right now?
I don't know, but I'm glad it didn't go that way.
Did not.
And you did bring up a good point. I mean, because you don't know what's happening with Carson Wentz.
That's right.
It just makes more sense to hold on to what you have because you know you've got a capable quarterback.
But here's the thing that's going to happen with Nick Foles on the roster. This is certain to happen if Carson Wentz is not slinging it
You're
on the level he was in 2017. If the Eagles lose two games and Carson Wentz looks bad in two games – oh, no, no, yeah, the Philadelphia fans definitely won't call for the Super Bowl hero. That definitely won't happen.
Nobody's more reasonable than a Philadelphian, okay? How
Even
could it possibly be?
At the parade, people had signs of Carson Wentz as a saint. At the parade. Everybody is still completely
spaghetti,
on board.
Spaghetti. No, this is the part that Spaghetti was going on and planted that seed for me. Right, Spaghetti?
What I said was, in 3 years, let's say that Wentz doesn't win a single playoff game. What happens then to his future in Philadelphia?
In when 3 years?
3 years. Let's say you guys go 9-7, 8-8.
That's not going to happen.
I agree.
No way.
I agree the team is very good, but if they don't win a single playoff game, then they're going to start – you guys are going to start getting like, oh, well, you know, Nick Foles did win those three big games in the playoffs
Nick
for us.
Foles is – You 3 years from now, you think Nick Foles is in the NFL? And
I think you're the most rational Eagles fan I've ever heard.
Are you crazy?
This is a great point.
Wentz is the guy.
Rational and Eagles fan, same sentence.
I mean, I don't even know what. My head spins at the words coming out of out of his mouth, the Wolf. You better have a strongly worded conversation with him about
it. What, you think I'm going to talk some sense into him?
Well, I mean,
he's changing now.
He's doing bits. He's roasting Nick Foles, the champion. It was less than a fortnight ago. He held up the Lombardi. He did the impossible. I said, for 5-6 weeks, I said, listen, one thing that's not going to happen is Nick Foles holding the Lombardi going, we did it. And then he said, we did it. Yours, Damashek.
I will say I thought that he was dead inside a little bit in terms of the Eagles, like being a fan still. And watching the game with him when they finally did it, I heard screams come out of him that I've never heard before. And he just started screaming, they did it. They did it. And I was like, oh, my God, it's still in there. You still are a fan a little bit.
The pitch on that was pretty on point. That's exactly how I sounded.
Oh, too. I have the video.
I know.
And it's true.
Tonight, one of the bottles that we pop. For Nick Foles.
Yeah, wow, that's nice. You're going to pour a little out for him.
We are.
Apparently, the way you talk about him. At what point did you feel like, did you know the second Brady fumbled that ball and they jumped on it, did you think, whoa, 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 game's not over? Or did you think, that's it? And then it started to set in, uh-oh, did we celebrate too soon? Because I suspect a lot of Eagles fans went through this roller coaster emotionally of, We just strip Brady. We win the game. Like,
no. Oh,
they're getting the ball back? Oh, no.
I know. And then you see when the ball left Brady's hands for that last-minute Hail Mary, I thought, that's it. He's going to rip everyone's hearts out right now, and they're going to win on, like, the last second, just like that, just like last year.
They still would have needed two. They still needed the two.
Yeah. And then just to go to overtime, right? Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking. When the kid made the kick, I thought, all right, no matter what, now, thank goodness he made that. So, all right. So, at worst, they're going to need to make two.
To go to overtime.
Right. But then at that point, it's like, if that happened and they did make the two-point conversion, go to overtime, they would absolutely win. It would just be like the Falcons game.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox walking back out onto the field for overtime, like, why? Man, I can't. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to lose. Let's just get to it.
That Hail Mary, I after the strip, I thought, okay, this is it. And then the Hail Mary, the way that Gronk was positioned.
I know.
And I kept saying, no, not like this. Like, it can't be like this. But in my head, I was still doing the math. Okay, even if they did make that Hail Mary,
it wouldn't be over.
Right. You'd still need the two-point conversion. You still have to go to overtime. They did look like the better team on Sunday. I mean, they made, as we said, Nick Foles made so many throws
and then
through so many windows
they
shouldn't have.
And the defense finally came up big on the strip sack.
It didn't feel to me, and it was a very strange sensation in the same way that I had said to you, it's very strange when people are like happy for Eagles fans and congratulating you. It was a very strange sensation to watch them play
lesser
that
of two evils to many football fans because they have tired of a dynasty, as people typically
yes,
do.
Yes, absolutely. But it was a very strange sensation for me to watch that game and throughout that game think, they're the better team today. They looked like the better
definitely
team.
Yeah. That was the mindset from people I talked to that going into the game, people who would know within the Eagles organization were saying all during the week. I think you had some of these conversations as well with some people. The Eagles felt as an organization, oh, we should destroy this team. I mean, the
weren't
QB, obviously Brady's the GOAT, but this roster is fraudulent. And I've mentioned that on social media, and Patriots fans are quick to pounce on that. How dare you? All right, go through the rock. I didn't say they're bereft of talent. I mean, the Browns have some good players, too. It doesn't make them a worthy playoff contender. You know, if you took Tom Brady and put him with a league-average quarterback in there, they would be not a good NFL team.
Yeah.
They have Brandon Cooks. They have Devin McCourty. They have the best tight end in the world. And that's, you know, there's not a lot behind that. You have a couple of interesting corners. But I do think that do you think the Patriots dynasty is over?
Oh, can you imagine if the Eagles are the team that did it? Like, can you imagine that?
We've discussed this. What if that was the moment the dynasty died? And I think even Spaghetti can agree on this. You'd have to credit Philadelphia on that one. I mean, if they put the stake through
like
New England's heart, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I literally just said to Em, I said, nope, the Giants did it twice in the prime.
I'm pretty sure the Eagles played the Patriots.
Undefeated season. The undefeated season was a big thing for them. I think us beating them, and I'm going to say us, I think that means a lot.
Integral role by you.
Well, wait a second. Yes. It's a little less King Joffrey lopping off Ned Stark's head to end that dynasty. This is more just kicking it down the road by a year, which practically makes Tom Brady 42 years old. Josh McDaniels, well, I guess he's still there, and then Matt Patricia is gone. That's what makes it like, all right, this window is close. He's a 42-year-old man. He's just how long can he continue to play?
And the defense
on this level
too.
The other thing is,
I did
observe that the Patriots always take away the one thing that you know. Well, the one thing they're not going to be able to handle, that's what the Patriots handle, and it was the Eagles' pass rush. And I thought that could give them trouble. It didn't really. I thought they were creeping, getting more closer and closer. If you watch the first half, they're starting to heat them up, and that's really going to emerge in the second half. And it just never did.
It's kind of weird.
Then they finally get
very strange.
Yeah,
game.
They needed just that one, and they got it.
But it really was strange, the fact that when I talked to people from the Eagles, they were just so, it almost was like overconfident. I mean, I said to John, I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, because they were so like, oh, we got this. We basically already won. This is going to be no problem.
I think that is the mindset you have to have.
But
you walk in,
that's great.
The Steelers play the Patriots with the mindset, we can't make any mistakes.
Right.
Lose. Like really tight. Yeah.
That's not a good way to be.
I think it was less surprising that the Eagles looked at that and said, yeah, I think we're the better team and we're confident because you're in the Super Bowl. You're really good. You're at the top of your profession. You should think that way. Much more foreign to me was going through Minneapolis and running into a zillion Eagles fans everywhere. And no one that I encountered was worried. Everybody thought they were going to win. Confident Philadelphians, very rare.
It was very strange.
Very strange.
The last 2 weeks have been really weird.
Bizarre, but wonderful.
Those poor people in Minnesota, that the team that beat them,
oh,
having a home game, then come into their town and do the EAG all week long.
And the full skull. And
oh, that was bad. That was the slap. The
only thing that will make it worse is if Nick Foles is the starting quarterback for the Vikings next year. That would like, yep. Remember what I did last year here? Now I'm yours.
What a wrinkle.
Dig that.
Move aside, Bradford.
Hey, it was a war, an American revolution, if you will, with the Patriots, the U.S. Revolutionary soldiers on one side against our bald eagle, our mascot, what is it? He's not a mascot. He's our bird.
National bird?
No, but it's a name for that. What's that called, MVP? You're not a mascot if you're the bird.
An emblem?
No. That's not right okay. either. Spaghetti, what's it called? What's the eagle called? The bald eagle. He is the...
A symbol, national symbol?
The symbol of America?
Emblem.
Emblem of America.
I don't, yeah.
Schmeh?
I use words. Know. But anyway, an eagle versus a Patriot was an all-American as you could get there. It was a war, if you will.
It was.
Speaking of war, can I tell you something? You want a little competition in your life?
I do.
Try captioning some of us. Captaining. Not capturing. Don't capture it. Well, maybe you will capture because that's what part of war is about. Try captaining some of the greatest warships in WW2 in World of Warships. The free-to-play historical online combat game from Wargaming. In World of Warships, you get to command a massive naval fleet with four classes of ships from over eight nations. Over eight. Not just eight. Over
That's
eight.
That's a nations. Lot of nations.
Fighting in you know what's one over eight? Nine.
Nine.
Who you know who wore number nine? The Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Nick
Nicely
Foles.
Done. Foles. Tied it all together. He's a Thank professional. You.
They're strategically designed environments in which these battles shall take place. Every match, a unique experience filled with endless hours of strategy, tactical gameplay, and pulse-pounding naval combat action. I think Doug Peterson, he's got some downtime. He might enjoy something like this. Anywho, download World of Warships for free today. Commandwarships.com and begin your naval adventure. Make sure you enter the code, though, Damashek18. You know what 18 is? What's half of 18?
Nine.
That's
See?
It all
Did
keeps
it
coming
again.
Back.
Did it again.
D-A-M-E-S-H-E-K, wow. 1-8 in all caps when you download and get a ton of bonus content courtesy of the DDFP. That includes a free premium ship. Aurora is the name of that ship. And pile on in-game currency to jumpstart your epic World War II naval experience. Download World of Warships today at commandwarships.com and start playing ASA. And P. All right. All that prelude, and then we still have Rodney McLeod coming up here, but first to the main event, I dare say. It's chapter two of the DDF Players, and with the script, here she is.
Oh boy.
The head writer of the DDFP, Emma VP.
This is fantastic. Thanks, Emma.
Thank
oh,
you.
I get to follow along. Do I have some sides here, Emma VP?
You read all the action.
Oh, I got all the action lines. Here we go. Are you guys ready? Is there music or anything to accompany this, MVP? All right, I'll wait your cue.
There will be. Now you go ahead and read, and I'll follow along.
All right. Interior. Airplane. First class. Oh.
Ooh.
Night. Colleen Wolfe sits in her big comfy seat, staring out the window, mesmerized by the brilliant clusters of city lights. A large football man taps her on the shoulder. Super Bowl 52 is about to be lit. Am I right, the Wolf? Go Birds. Colleen snaps out of her trance. She takes a big gulp from her glass of Dom Perignon, pretending to be cool.
This is pretty right.
True that, Steve Smith Sr. Hey, guess what? Next round's on me.
An elite group of TV football analysts erupts with glee. Is that you're going to do that one, MVP?
Nope, you're going to do all the characters.
Heck yeah! This is TV football woman. Heck yeah! Expense that ish! We're on remote, y'all! Woohoo!
Oh, Lindsay Rhodes, you're too much.
Oh, that's the phone ring? Sparing no expense. Colleen looks down at her diamond-encrusted iPhone 7 or 12, whatever that is. I don't know.
I think it's a 12.
It's a 12.
It's a 12.
She has a text from Gonzo, a.k.a. my hubby, Hart. Frazzled, the Wolf opens the message to find John Gonzalez has sent a video. She plays it aloud, throwing common courtesy out the window.
Colleen, it's me, John, your husband. I miss you so much right now. I know the Eagles' struggles over the past couple years have put a strain on this relationship, and I'll be the first to admit it. When we got Carson Wentz, I got my hopes up too high, and when he tore his ACL, well, you know the end of the story, right? You do remember. You remember I got arrested for destroying that. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm sick of this separation. My mom's couch is really uncomfortable, and her grilled cheese sandwiches taste like garbage.
Colleen smiles. She knows how god-awful those sandwiches are.
Look, Colleen, now that things are finally looking up for the birds, perhaps the same can be true for us. Look for me in Minneapolis. I'm going to make this right.
A single tear runs down the wolf's cheek.
This is a high-quality production.
Wow.
Oh, this is the captain of the plane. My bad, everyone. I thought I saw something. On behalf of Goodell Airways, we'd like to welcome you to Minnesota, where the people are nice, and that's about it.
Cut two, interior, Minneapolis Convention Center. Good morning, football set day. Colleen, Steve Smith, Michael Robinson, and Mike Garofolo are live on set surrounded by thousands of NFL fans.
Word association time, gang. M-Rob, you're up. Ready?
You know it. That's my Mike Rob there. Colleen is suddenly distracted by the sound of a desperate grown man shouting her name in the crowd.
Colleen! Colleen, it's me! It's John!
She turns around, looking like your standard crazy person. She bobs her head, neglecting the segment. Colleen, whisper, hello? This is where you give me the prompt. Please just say something.
John? John? John?
All right, then, I'll take this one. Hey, everybody, you're watching Good Morning Football, the late afternoon edition. Time for a change to the bird mascot pecking order. Stay tuned, because after the break, we've got a talking eagle who thinks it's time for Steve Smith and his avian allegiances to fly the coop.
Hey, now, this is Steve Smith. Hey, now, ravens are the best kind of bird. He's got to know that.
Fake laughter ensues for several awkward beats. Colleen gets up from her chair at the commercial break. She stands on her tippy-toe, scanning the crowd.
Colleen, here, over here, I'm wearing green.
She finally spots her guy. He wears a Wentz jersey and a green winter hat. Really stands out. John rushes up to the set. They touch hands. Eye contact galore.
John, I got your message. The thing is, I'm afraid. You know I love you to the Schuylkill River and back. You're my Wawa hoagie on a rainy day. My soft pretzel in the springtime. My water ice on the boardwalk.
Oh, very nice water ice.
But the thing is, this thing is bigger than us. The Eagles are our relationship, John. And look at how it's turned out. I have the house all to myself. My career is skyrocketing. I have more money than I've ever imagined. I'm a wreck without you, though.
I know. And you deserve the world, my wolf. I hate that our marriage... I hate that our marriage directly correlates to the ups and downs of the Philadelphia Eagles franchise. But what am I supposed to do? I'm a fan.
Me too, John. But this fantasy of a football season has been bittersweet. My NFL dreams are coming true, and it hurts that you haven't been by my side. I thought we were in this thing together, win or lose.
We are. Especially when we win. But I promise you, I've grown over the past few months. I can take a loss. When Foles downright embarrassed himself and frankly his entire family against the Cowboys, I didn't injure myself or others. I threw the remote at the TV like a normal human being, and I went to work the next day. I'm telling you, Colleen, I can do this.
A female stage manager, 40, approaches the couple. Why we need to know her age, I don't know, but all right. Back in 30, people, let's go. Chop, chop, your producer is having another panic attack.
I have to go.
Wait, Colleen, hear me out.
I'm listening.
We've both done some stuff we weren't proud of, but if the Eagles win on Sun...
Jinx, don't jinx it.
It's perfect. Colleen, I truly hope you can...
A couple times.
Wonderful timing. Colleen, I truly hope you can find it in your heart to give this thing another chance. If the Philadelphia Eagles pull off the upset of the century on Sunday, girl, that won't be by chance. That will be destiny.
But John, what if they lose?
Meet me on the field. I'll be waiting. One man, alone, among tens of thousands. Colleen, I've waited a lifetime for a Lombardi trophy. I can sure as hell wait another few days for your forgiveness.
Tears stream down both their faces. True love never fades. Startled, Colleen wipes her face on John's jersey. He doesn't mind. She pulls it together, sports her best TV smile. Wolf, sit down. Here we go in 5, 4, 3, 2. Cut to interior, U.S. Bank Stadium, Super Bowl Sunday night, a montage.
Moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick
and
Foles.
It is a touchdown by Nick Foles. He steps up, he's hit, and falls forward.
He
fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
It's weird that they are actually both crying now. Anywho, interior U.S. Bank Stadium, Super Bowl Sunday field later. Eagles players celebrate on the field with their loved ones. Green confetti falls. Tom Brady quietly scurries away. John Gonzalez stands in the middle of the field, surrounded by hundreds of people experiencing pure joy. He smiles at Nick Foles and his baby, waves hello to Doug Peterson, whom he's never met, and backs away slowly from a security guard. His head's on a swivel as he searches everywhere for his bride. This can't be how it ends. This is not how it ends. Suddenly, he sees Colleen straight ahead, and just like that, everyone else disappears. The stadium goes silent. It's her.
John!
Colleen!
The two of them run awkwardly toward each other. Neither very neither very athletic. They dodge small children. They dodge small children and dog masks. John shakes his head in disbelief. Colleen reciprocates. They hold hands and stare deeply into each other's eyes.
You're here. I didn't think I'd see you on this field tonight.
I know. Me neither. My credential says no field access, so I had to make a run for it. But you're worth it.
We did it.
We friggin' did it.
They smile and embrace. They smile and embrace. Let's live it. Let's do it. They smile. The birds won, and so did they. John picks up a huge heap of confetti from the ground. He winks at her, then hoists it over their heads. As the colorful paper falls on them, the lovebirds embrace again.
I love you.
I love you, too.
The Eagles mascot Swoop walks by, and Colleen hands him her phone, motioning to take a picture. He reluctantly agrees. They look up at the falling confetti and back at each other.
Okay, on the count of three, it's muffled, of course, because I'm under a mask.
Right.
Okay, on the count of three, ready? One, two, three.
Go Birds!
The end.
It was beautiful. That was exactly how it went.
That was better than Dunkirk.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Now, before we wrap it up and get to Rodney McLeod, wonderful work again by the head writer.
Per usual.
Emma,
she's
great job.
You got to give her a raise. She is clearly the most talented.
She gets enough praise already. Awesome. Everybody comes into the DDFP and leaves with the same, oh, Emma VP. Do I get to meet Emma VP? Oh, she's the greatest. What an asset to the show she is.
It's all true.
We're going to get you a raise.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Whatever. When do I get my parade already? When's it my turn? When's it my turn to be happy, you know?
Hey, nobody's preventing this.
I was happy when I won the Fantasy Football League. Before we wrap it up,
congrats.
Here, let's talk about this. I won the big one. This is the one with Sal and, you know, Cousin Sal from Kimmel, who came up with, I think, about 8 years ago now, the diabolical scheme.
Great idea.
Well, it's more fun from the outside. It's not fun on the inside at all, to me at least, and to a few other people. So Sal came up with the idea that whoever wins gets to choose one person in the league that they kick out for the following year, but you're not allowed to announce who that person is until the night of the draft, which is conducted the night before the season or two nights before, so that it's too late to get into another league at the last minute. Your goose is cooked, in other words. And you show up if you're somebody who does homework or, you know, preps for it. You show up with all that prep, and then and only then do you find out you're out of the league.
I love this so much.
It's the greatest.
So it's 11 people, but only 10 play, right?
That's correct.
Wonderful.
And a lot of people have been shamed and had to stand and exit the room while the eyes laugh at you. And
how many times
you've
did
been
you
one
get
of
voted
these people,
out?
Yeah.
I got – well, listen, I'm not telling the whole backstory, but there was a time once where there were two cowards who won. Craig and Brian, they won, the Bar Owls. These two cowards decided, well, we don't want to kick anybody out. We don't feel right about them. So we're just going to let the entire league vote on it. thereby, you know, waiving their responsibility and putting it back on all of us. Cowardice! But anyhow, they put it to a vote. Things obviously got sideways. I had the sense from Randy, who I think was just on with Simmons. I think he said, he turned to the moment, the pivotal moment was as I was about to cast my vote. I heard Randy, I watched him, in fact, turn to Simmons, Sal, and Kevin Hench, and he said, we're all going Damashek here, right? To try, because, like, if you watch Survivor,
right,
you need to form those allegiances.
Right.
Because it's that better you than me mentality. And I also, on the other end of the table, was aware that there was sentiment that it would be funny to kick Sal out. So I thought, well, if they're voting against me, you know what? I'm cutthroat. Sal, I wrote down. I was one of five people who voted Sal out. Sal got the boot. Sal was miffed. He did not like it. It was a some reason. I don't know why everybody else gets a pass, but Damashek for Sal. How dare you do it to me, Velvel, as Sal calls me, Velvel, my Hebrew name. how dare you, Velvel, kick me out of the league? The next year we get there, and he said, Sal rises for the big moment and says, of the people who voted me out, I have all those names in a hat right now. And he draws two names. One is Tall John. The other is the Dutch Mook. So Tall John and the Dutch Mook are now going to be pitted against each other in a series of events to see which one gets the boot.
This is amazing.
It involved, like, carrying a drink on top of your head across the room that we had. And it was all this nonsense. And then the climax was that there was one, you know how those puzzles look on Survivor? It's not like a proper snap-in, you know, kind of like those kind of puzzle things. And they each had one. And they're competing back and forth. And I'm a loud mouth, as you may have noticed. And so I'm giving play-by-play as it goes. The Dutch Mook takes the lead. Can't Tall John catch him? This is all on video and everything. And, you know, it's a race to the finish. And everyone, it's electric stuff. This is a great scheme by Sal. The most exciting moment in the history of the Kickout League, save perhaps when the most desired man on the planet Earth at the time, Don Draper, John Hamm, got the boot by a bald-headed lawyer named Elliot, which was the greatest moment ever. Wait, I'm actually out of the league? Like, yeah, Elliot just kicked you out. Like, you got to go there, Draper. Hit the skids. Like, that was great.
Oh, my
great.
God.
Then again, Randy once jumped off a fire escape because he walked out the wrong door. He rocked out and found himself on a fire escape, not on the stairs out of the bar where we were drafting, but was too embarrassed to walk back through the room, so he jumped off the fire escape. Anyhow, so this one, they're doing the puzzles.
Oh, no.
Who's going to finish the puzzle first? Who's going to do it neck and neck? And, I mean, simultaneously, everyone at the room at the exact same time reads the puzzle. No one had thought to do this previously. And it says, Aloha, Velvel. We'll see you next year.
Great.
And I was banished from the league. And
no.
I gathered my belongings and tucked my tail and exited the room. So anyhow, I win the league this year. Now this is a rite of passage. I get to kick somebody out.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, on this Sports Guys podcast, from what I've heard, people be, oh, everybody's letting me know. Oh, he's decided, I'm not going to let you have the pleasure of kicking. Damashek doesn't get the pleasure of kicking me out. I'm going to take that away from him. I quit. That's what Simmons did. All right. So Simmons quit the league, right? But now I've heard from Sal. No, he's just taking a one-year hiatus. How say you, John Gonzalez?
Ooh. Yes, tell us all how you feel
about
this, John.
Yeah, this is great. So it says in my contract I do not
speak for Bill Simmons. You'll play this on your podcast? You'll play this on your podcast?
Yeah, I'll bring it back to Simmons and see what happens here. On the one hand, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to
– I don't.
You won the league. You should.
By the way, what kind of arrogance does it take to say that you're my pick? Why would I kick you out over anybody? I know there's a. It's because I'm a Patriots guy and he wants to stick it to me because he likes the Steelers. Hey, there are other guys who like the Patriots too. Why don't I kick one of them out?
I am not fully acquainted with the weirdness of your weirdo league. I'm just now getting it through osmosis and
there's
telling
so
of these
many
stories.
Layers.
There's a lot of layers here. From a very like macro perspective, I understand the idea of wanting to take off a year from fantasy. I run a league that we are in.
No, not
and
that.
And I want to kind of like take a time out.
All right.
I get that.
But you don't get
both sides here.
You don't get to supersede the rules to say, I am announcing I'll be back in a year. No. If you quit the league, you have quit the league. Matt Money Smith has volunteered to take that spot.
Ooh.
Maurice Jones-Drew has volunteered to take that spot. Any number of people would be happy to take that slot. You don't get to say, I'm going on vacation.
Well functionally, it's the same, though.
It's
right?
Not. No.
Well, I mean, you have one person.
Damashek doesn't have the ability. No. He doesn't have the power anymore.
My reward for winning the league is a trophy, $42, and the right to kick somebody out of the league.
That's the best part, kicking someone out.
Let me ask you a question. All right, so because he wants to preemptively take himself out and
he
take
can
away
do that. If
power,
you want to quit the league, you can quit the league.
But no, what I'm saying is, so let's just say that he now acquiesces and says, okay, I'll go through the proper process. Would you then purposefully not kick him out as a penalty?
I'm under no obligation to reveal anything until the night of the draft. What my intentions are, it's purely my business.
I want to get a sense of what's going on in there.
None of your damn business
There's
is the answer to that question. Who I kick out is who I kick out on the night of the draft.
I don't think you're going to be kicking anybody out.
The Wolf, how say you?
I think it's ridiculous.
And what is?
Because the fact that you are not going to be able to kick anyone out.
So you think that if you quit the league, you quit the league. You don't.
I mean, is there?
You don't pause.
No.
You don't self-suspend for a year. You quit the league or you don't.
Can you have somebody sub for you for a year? Is that permissible?
I feel like you're
no,
not going...
in fact, the Dutch Mook actually had business to tend to in Europe last year. He could have said, can I take a hiatus? He didn't. He said, no, I will have a proxy there to do the draft for me and oversee things on a week-to-week basis. If that's how you fill the slot. You got to do it.
Very arrested development for him to have a surrogate. I feel like you're not going to get resolution on this regardless.
Eddie Spaghetti, your thoughts.
Also, I just literally just said the surrogate to
that's hilarious.
Said that. No, I'm on your side. I think that Bill bailing out ahead of time is just that's a loser move. If you have any integrity, you stay in the league and you battle. And if he kicks you out, he kicks you out.
It sounds like he's nervous.
The last laugh is if Bill wins and then can kick you out. Like, why would you want to bail? Like, that's not. Nah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to crush my big Bill Simmons guy, but I'm with Damashek on this one.
It's not about
this is a good
big
for you
big
to be.
Bill Simmons guy or not. Bill Simmons. What I won't stand for is this nonsense.
Trying to trick the
system. Oh, what's his favorite team? Oh, anyway, so MVP, your thoughts.
I'm with Spaghetti. I think if you quit the league, you quit the league.
That's right. I mean, it's 3-1. So that's 3-1 of completely objective people. Isn't it interesting that the one under the sports guy's employ is, well, I mean, it makes some sense.
Yeah. That's how you sound it, John.
That's a sound business move.
I think you should bring it up to him.
You do an excellent Simmons. And the Gonzalez that you do is above
reproach. Hey, Gonzo. Gonzo, you better say the right thing or it's going to be your behind.
He's ride or die Simmons right now.
You're already on thin ice after what your Eagles did to Tom Brady.
I want to say that I really enjoyed working at the ring for about 5.5 days, and thank you for bringing that to a place for me, Dave.
Much to my chagrin, I think you get to stay employed since you just voted with him.
That's true.
I did not cast a vote.
Hey, guess what? You know what?
You abstained.
I'm reserving judgment.
Okay, so you will get a paycheck, and in exchange for that, you've given up your dignity. But that's you know what? That's fine. You know what?
That's true.
We all make choices.
That's what I have Colleen for.
I see.
Yes.
All right. Listen, I think we've done it all here, and now it's time to say goodbye to John Gonzalez. Again, the name of the podcast: Hard Knock Hardwood.
That's the one. Please
put it in the bucket.
Hard Knock Hardwood. We really enjoy talking about that.
From downtown into the rim.
It's a very long title, as it turns out.
Heat check. The heat
with
check.
Authority.
With authority.
With no regard for human life. The basketball. Is that
that's it? That's
Nails.
That's the whole title.
Say it again.
There are many colons and ampersands in there. It's a wonderful. It's top of the iTunes charts.
The Wolf.
What is it?
It's the NBA show Heat Check Pod.
That's it.
Yeah.
The NBA show Heat Check Pod.
Yeah.
Why not just go the NBA Heat Check Pod?
Because we have an entire
Ringer do the NFL
NBA show.
I got you.
And then we have within that umbrella many different sub pods.
Remember in high school or in junior high, I don't know, did you guys all have to do this? In my age, I'm older than you, but I recall like two full years in social studies. And what this had to do with social studies, I don't know. But it was mastering outlining. Mm-hmm. Did you have to do that in school? Like,
oh,
no.
Oh, yeah.
First, it's a Roman numeral.
Sure.
But then with the subsection to that, it's a letter. And then after that, it's lowercase.
I like outline. I love outline.
And then beneath that, it's lowercase alphabet letters. What was the need to master this? Why did we need this? Why were we so consumed in school?
It's very OCD.
Yes. The man wasted so many hours of my life.
Yeah.
Learn this geometry. Learn this algebra that will have no application in your adult life.
Trigonometry, you're going to need it.
Just think about what...
I didn't reach that, believe me.
Just think about what you could have been, Dave. If only...
I know.
Not for those wasted hours.
I know. Why didn't they just say, like, let's read nice books and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Where would you be today?
I know. And the mind reels, writing scripts for a dumb podcast.
Wow.
This is a very long podcast. What day is it?
How long have we been going now?
Oh, we're going 65, and then we have 20 minutes of Rodney McLeod coming for you guys. All
right. Do you want to hold Rodney McLeod for the next episode then?
I don't know. I feel like we talked about it a lot on this show.
All right, maybe we'll have to replay it a second one. That's what we'll do. We'll play it here, and then if you miss it, we're going to play it again. So what? I make my own rules, unlike like other people apparently are at their whim. I'm going to take a year off. I'm going to replay the pod. I'm going to replay the Rodney McLeod. That's apparently we're lawless now. Now we do what we please. Whatever suits us, that's what we do now.
I like this new Damashek.
Here it is, everybody. Thank you to the Wolf. Thank you John Gonzalez. No, I'm saying thank you for the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
You're welcome. We
Football
did it.
Football America needs
John, we did it.
We did it.
High five.
Thank you also for coming in today. Good luck to the Sixers going forward.
Yeah.
Nothing but pain and suffering for the Flyers and all the rest of it. There they are, Philly's first couple, Gonzo and the Wolf. All right, now let's get to the delightful Rodney McLeod.
Dave.
Oh, we love this time of year because it means we get to visit with some of the guys who just were holding that Lombardi trophy a matter of hours ago. Look who it is right now, Rodney McLeod. How are you, man? First of all, mazel tov to you.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Feeling great. How can you not? World champs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's start here because I'm jumping right in with the hard questions. Justify for me how you think that was a touchdown by Corey Clement. He was out of there. I mean, he bobbled that thing.
What did they rule it on?
I don't know what they ruled it. I don't know and I don't care. I'm asking you.
What did they rule it?
They said it was a touchdown out there.
Touchdown.
You know what? I'm a man of justice, and I agree it was a touchdown, but there were some other ones along the way in the 2017 season that seemed like they also should have been called touchdowns.
There's a lot of that. You can look at the Zach Ertz play, too.
Yes.
They were reviewing that for forever. I'm like, man, just come on with the call. Just give us the signals, a touchdown. But they did it, man, and I'm happy.
I hadn't thought about that. What were you guys on the sidelines doing in both of those? Actually, it's the game winning. It's the go-ahead touchdown with a couple minutes left in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you see the refs. Oh, they're what are they going to do? What's the vibe on the sideline there?
It's like, man, they can't take this away from us.
Oh, they could, though.
They could. You know, we are playing the Patriots, so feel like there's always a little favoritism for those guys. But man, hey, they got it right. That's what's most important. I don't know what Philly would have did if they ruled that incomplete.
Can you imagine?
Or fumble. Yeah, it would have got ugly. It would have got ugly.
It was the Jesse James thing. It was the same thing, except that Ertz took a further strides.
He took about three steps. That's what sealed the deal for me. So once I seen that. Understood. Soon that ball crossed the white, any part of the ball, touchdown, is over.
All right, listen, I'm with you. I just wanted to see how you would react to it. Now
okay.
I know that you're not someone here to jive. As you can see on the door right there, that's the one policy we have, no jive.
Yeah.
We shoot straight here, or not at all.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's move on. I was just thinking, I was talking with the gang before you arrived here.
Okay.
It occurs to me underrated. Is Rodney the best name to have in sports? Rodney is, I mean, a rich history of Rodneys, that crosses all sports lines. You know, have you ever thought about that? Because Dangerfield, you know, it's like everybody's disrespected if you got Rodney. But if you make it to the pro level, it might be the best name. Look what I wrote down here.
What you got?
Rod Woodson. He's maybe the best corner in history.
Oh, yeah, and safety.
Right, right.
A little both.
Smith, he won a couple of Super Bowls. Yeah. You know, with Elway and company. Harrison, he won his Super Bowl with the Patriots. Yeah. Hampton, I think, is still – no, Tiki Barber passed him, but he was at one point the all-time leading rusher for the New York Giants.
Okay.
Tidwell, you ever see Jerry Maguire?
Yeah, yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah.
Rod Tidwell.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. Rod Strickland, Rodney Hood, Rodney Pete, Rod Marinelli, you know?
You did your research.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling great.
Man, that's a good list right there.
I mean –
and you got to just add – there's only one more person to add.
Well, why don't you tell me who? So, look who's, see, I got, well, listen, I asked no jive. I didn't say you can't be, a little narcissistic here. Hey, listen, you're forever. You're a Super Bowl champ. What's the, you know, speaking of trophies, I've been asking a lot of fellas this. Isn't it weird that nobody knows what the NFL MVP trophy, we know what the Lombardi looks like, but you don't know what the MVP trophy looks like. Who should it be named after and what should the pose be?
Who should it be named after?
Yeah. You can say Nick Foles if you want.
I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. But
Corey Clement almost catching it for a kind of touchdown.
Yeah. So are you asking me who the MVP was of the game?
No.
Or who
NFL MVP.
History.
NFL MVP. This year goes to you, Tom Brady. But you didn't just win the NFL MVP. You just won the Heisman is named after John Heisman.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch college football. You know what it looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Who should it be named after for all of time, and what would the pose be?
I feel like it's got to be a quarterback.
Have to be. You don't have to play that game.
Huh?
Name it after a safety if you want to.
I could, but I can't really think of any safeties that are, you know what I'm saying, jumping off the charts for me right now.
Maybe Polamalu with those locks,
yeah, with
flowing.
The head and shoulders.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders hair flying around. That would be insane.
Now you're a man of high fashion. What's your involvement with it? You have your whole line, your own line?
So I have my own store that I just opened up in November called Back of House in Arlington, Virginia, Pentagon City Mall. It's doing well. It's a men's fashion store. Kind of high-end streetwear in there, and you know, we cater to every type of male, and I'm excited, and I'm out here in Vegas because of that, so I took a quick flight in to LA, and I got to get back to business. There's a big trade show is going on. A lot of different brands from all around the country are out there. It's a big exhibit, so it's a good time, network, and you know, plan for this spring
all
collection.
Right. Let's talk. I'm happy for you. That sounds like a really cool endeavor. I think that would be a fun.
Are you into fashion?
Well, you can tell by looking at it. No, you have two eyes. You see what is. You know.
We can hook you up.
Well, maybe I don't need hooked up, but I guess that's an indictment of my appearance that you would say that to me. Hook me up with what? I already look good.
All right. No? Hey, you do.
Well, don't jive me. I thought we just covered that. What do we think?
Okay.
How's my fashion according to Fashion
Adidas.
Maven?
Yeah. I see what you're doing there.
Okay. I see what I'm doing, but do you like what I'm doing?
I like what you're doing. It fits you.
All right.
It fits you well.
What is that supposed to mean?
You look well.
Okay. It suits me. That's not necessarily a compliment, you know?
Don't you think this suit?
Yes,
this
but
like,
you're a Super Bowl champ, and you look good, and you look casual, but you're put together. Like, when you say it to a schnook like me, it suits you.
You're the guy, man. I'm on your show.
I'm a guest. All right. See? Now I see. Now you know how to please me, because I'm not a narcissist. I'm vain, and you're feeding my vanity. Thank you. Now, let's talk some other fashion. What do you think about this, though? I just recently, I'm going to say this for the world to hear. What do you think of this move? I recently found this shirt at the store,
mm-hmm.
and I liked it so much I bought two of it. And I wore it every day at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis. I wore this same shirt, one of the two, same design, wore the same shirt every single day, and not one human being said, "You're wearing the same shirt again." And I think that's what I think that's what I want. I want to be somebody who can just wear, you know, just wear the same thing. Is that a good idea? Do you like buying in volume? I like that article of clothing. I'm going to buy like four of them.
I think you could do that with these like white T-shirts and things like that.
Okay.
I don't really know about the button-ups. I don't really know about that.
Well, I do. So that so we part ways on that. Now, it was very exciting. I was happy for all the fellas. Speaking of uniforms, you should get into it with Chris Long. Nobody in pro football gets the do's and don'ts of football uniforms better than your teammate Chris Long. Save perhaps you. Let's figure it out right now. The only thing that would have made the Eagles title better would have been if you had on better uniforms. True or false?
False.
False. The green jersey with the white pants and the dark green. You like that?
I like that. Mm. We won every game in the playoffs. We, you know what I'm saying? With
I get
uniforms.
It has meaning.
But you know, I'm all for – I would have been all for, you know, the all-black Dark Knight look.
No. Why is every NFL guy says, like, oh, what, how do
you
we
feel
fix
invincible.
Your
you feel invincible, man.
Every Put guy that, says that, though.
It's real. I don't have too many bad games in that all-black uniform.
All right. Well, listen, I don't care for it. And by the way, there are teams that already do it. Between the Steelers and Raiders, they've cornered the market on the black getups. You don't need that.
Yeah. So
I say
so
Kelly Green. Why not do the 1960 Kelly Green?
I am a fan of that.
You got juice. Go to Lurie and say, listen, man, we want to go Kelly Green in a game.
We have mentioned it a few times. Really? Trust me. We want to do it on Thursday night. So hopefully now that we have this trophy, you know, Mr. Lurie.
You got some juice now.
Yeah, we got some juice. We got some clout. So – people willing to listen. We're going to make it happen. So hopefully we get to Kelly Green Thursday night this year, or all like gray or silver. I think that would be.
Yeah, you went a little too far there. You know, went too far with the all gray.
I thought.
That's too much. It goes too far. What about, though, if the commish is listening right now, and he listens to most every minute of every show I do? I think instead of Color Rush, what if we do, one of our listeners here has pointed out to us, just go throwback. Wouldn't that be a cool thing?
I feel like at some point they did that in the league, right?
They did it in 94 for the season. I forget what it was, like the 50th year or whatever.
I would love to, like, bring those back. I mean, the Kelly Green would have to come back. I remember playing Madden. You go through all the jerseys, like home, away, alternate. Throwback 1970s,
70s Eagles ain't bad either.
Yeah, so I'm all for it, man. I think we need to dedicate one season, and we got the money. We got the money.
That's right.
We got the money, man.
Oh, here's another fashion question for you. The ring, it's too much already. I get that it's important. It's a nice thing, and that you win, and it's forever your little bobble, but it's not little. It's gigantic. Are you going to wear that thing around?
Definitely gonna wear it.
Really? Wear it around your neck, though. It's gigantic.
It's like a
bust, like for the Hall of Fame. It's as big as a person's head is.
Yeah, I hear it's huge. It's gonna look nice though, right here. I got it.
It's gonna go on your right index finger.
Yeah.
Why does that finger get it more than any other?
Because we about to start it up. You know, you got to start here, left to right, and we just getting this dynasty going, man.
Oh! You're going LeBron on me here. Not one.
I didn't say all that.
You're just saving space in case.
I'm saving space. I don't want to start in the middle.
I got you.
Yeah.
Do you know Malcolm Jenkins has a giant Lombardi trophy on his right forearm? And he said he's already taken up all the space on his left forearm for another Lombardi trophy. What's he supposed to do now? He has a giant Lombardi trophy tattoo on his arm.
Malcolm Jenkins?
Yes. You never noticed this?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's giant.
I'm going to have to hit him up right after this segment.
He's spoken for, which is too bad because that's a great icebreaker on a first date.
Yeah.
Like, what are you up to? What have you been doing with yours? Oh, wait, this old thing? Yeah, I won one of these. You know, now he could do double barrel. Like, look at that.
Is that the meaning behind it, because he won with New Orleans and he got the tab right after that? Or did he
have it before? Well, it would be weird if he just had a Lombardi tattoo.
Maybe it was a motivation.
Yeah,
guys have guys, you know, have weird ways of
those guys about. Who get tattoos, the like fans who get the tattoos in anticipation. Why don't you just wait? Why do you have to get the championship? Yeah. That's weird.
I think Jason Terry did something like that, right? When after the Mavericks
right.
won,
yeah, that's right, he did.
Yeah, I would never. I
worst would. Uniform in the NFL. Go ahead. If you have three on your brain, you can say all three.
Worst NFL uniform.
Yes. Which one? If you're a free agent, you're thinking about, like, I can't go there because I don't want to wear that getup, that costume.
Maybe I don't really like the Browns uniforms.
That's right. What and why?
It's just boring. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't also, really do anything to me.
And it makes no sense. They're named Brown, but their hats are orange. But then they have self-esteem issues because even though they're an NFL team and everybody knows every team in the NFL, they feel like maybe people will forget. We better just write our name on our pants, Browns. Mm-hmm. That seems right. That seems like they don't feel right about it. They don't feel good about themselves. In case you forgot, we're the Browns. It says it on our pants, right?
You said it.
Yes, I did say it. What do you think? Oh, another one for you. Do you see Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass there in the Rangers hat?
Oh, yeah.
He and his friend this weekend, they both went out in tank tops, out on the streets together. Do you feel
where?
Like if you, well, around L.A.
Oh, okay.
If you go out, you meet one of your chums and he has a tank top on and you do too, don't you feel like one of
chums.
You say, like, we can't do that? Pal.
Chum.
Yeah, pal, you know.
What?
Patriot, you know?
Oh, okay.
Friend.
I never heard that.
Amigo.
Yeah.
You know?
Bro.
Bro. Pal.
Yeah.
Well, those, you know. What
my guy.
Are. My guy, yeah. But he and his guy both had on tank tops. I think one of you has to say, well, we can't both go out looking like this, right?
Why not? It's L.A.
I don't know. It's, first of all, I don't need to see any man in a tank top. I don't need to see what you have going on under your arm. That's
Why?
Not my business.
Why?
It's not for me. I'm the same way, though. What do you think about, as a man of fashion, do you allow in your store or otherwise, would you let a grown man walk around in sandals?
Walk around in sandals?
Sandals.
Yeah.
Not shower slippers, you understand.
Yeah.
I'm talking about out on the streets.
Yeah, the sandals, yeah.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Sandals.
Sandals.
For a grown man.
Grown man.
All right. I mean, this isn't going so well.
Jesus
I mean,
walks.
I don't. I mean, I just don't know what this Rodney. I mean, he comes in here with all of his ideas and stuff. You know?
I don't know how you're not a fan of tank tops. And you
tank tops. And I don't like. I don't care for. I don't need to see that. I'm not playing basketball.
So you don't have any tank tops. You
don't no, I do tank. Not.
What?
No.
No beaters.
Nope. Nope.
No, not a fan.
Zero. What does that even do?
Just flannels.
No. Well, definitely.
Just those.
How dare you come in here and mock my one outfit? This is it.
No,
this
you
is
said it. You say you have multiple.
I do. I know.
Yeah.
That's it. This is it. You know, that's what geniuses do. Einstein, or I don't know who else. Like, they don't, that's the old thing. Like, they wear the same thing every day so that their brain isn't burdened by choosing a new outfit every day. Now I can focus on what matters. That's the logic of, like, you know, these trailblazing human beings like myself.
I'm going to have to try, man. Maybe you started the wave.
Don't patronize me. What I'm not going to do is sit here and be patronized. Let's talk about because there's no football, and it's sad, but not for you because you now get to just put your feet up and for, I mean, you know, 11 months and, like, 3 weeks at least, you're like, hey, I'm the reigning Super Bowl champ. And who knows? Maybe we're talking again and you're talking about getting fitted for a second ring. But in the meantime, this is the best position to be in. You know, you're the champ.
It is, man. Top of the world.
That's why we don't have to kick off in September. You make it November or December for all you care, right? Because I'm the defending champ.
I would love to do that. My body would love to do that.
Yeah, right, right. So while you're doing that, though, the rest of us are kind of down in the dumps because there's no football. However, there are the Winter Olympics on. Which is the weirder Winter Olympic sport in your book, luge or bobsled? You watch any luge?
No, I was going to ask, give me a description.
Luge is when the guy wears that shiny onesie suit.
Yep.
And he lays on the sled in the wrong direction, and he just lays there and he goes through the ice thing. That's the luge. I contend that that any of us, I don't need to be a pro athlete. I could make the luge team, because there can't be more than two or three people in America who go out for the luge team, right? Like, they're just like, well, I'll do it. And they're like, okay, we needed somebody to go and represent the country.
Yeah. I don't even know. I don't know how those guys really train for that. Me and my friend,
they lay down. They lay on the couch. I'm in training. What are you doing again on the couch? Yes, the Olympics are 3 years away, you know?
Yeah. Me and my friend were talking yesterday. It happened to just be on in the background. Like, dang, I wonder how many people actually watched the Winter Olympics.
The weirder one, in my book, I'll answer my own question. It's bobsled. And here's why. Because they have the two-man bobsled,
uh-huh,
right?
Yeah.
Where the two guys, the
yep.
one guy in the back, he pushes it, and the guy in the front, he steers it.
Yeah.
Then they throw the four-man bobsled. Well, listen, we're on to you, you guys. The four guy, the two who sit in the middle, we're on to you. You're just along for the ride trying to get a medal on the backs of your two friends, right?
Facts.
Because if we needed you, then there wouldn't be such a thing as the two-man bobsled. But as my eyes tell me when I watch, there's a two-man. Well, what are you two doing in the middle except just freeloading, right?
It's a question we got to ask them. We got to ask them. You got to bring them on the set.
Let's do it. I think these are see, you have free time. Why don't we – well, yeah, I know you're burgeoning fashion business, but maybe in addition to that, we could do a proper investigation. Who do you guys think you are trying to trick the world with your riding along? Just you're riding hump, and you expect a medal for that?
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get that, man. That's why not too many people watch it.
You're a winsome fella. You won some games, and in fact, you won that Lombardi Trophy. I appreciate you giving us some time. What's the name of your place again?
It's called Back of House.
Back of House. Is there a website we can track down as well?
It's on Instagram, Back of House. Literally just search it, and then bohusa.com is the online site.
So good luck with that, man. That's a really a cool venture to get into while you're playing.
Yeah, it is. I'm excited. Yeah, so we're going to continue to grow.
All right, good luck in Vegas. Good luck in your travels. Have a good and safe off season. Hope it's productive for you.
Yeah.
And with any luck, they'll delay the start of the NFL season so you can just keep on talking about it. I'm a defending Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, let's push that.
And then as soon as we hang out, as soon as we say goodbye, you can call Murray. I'm saying we're going Kelly for at least a couple of days.
Yeah, we got to. We're going to bring it back.
Rodney McLeod, everybody. Congratulations again.
Appreciate it.